Hey guys, thanks for listening. Welcome to Code's podcast. We're here on week four or five. We made it this far. Is it week four or five?
I think it's five.
Wow, week five, halfway to our first benchmark. If you guys are still following along, it means we're doing something right. And some of the things we're talking about are interesting enough to tune in again, or you just kind of like us and are supporting us either way. And if you're not here, well, you'll be here at some point, hopefully. I'm here with Mr. Alex Wolf. He's my co-host, and he's chosen to speak about a very important or a very special topic to him. So I'm going to pass this off to him to give a little introduction about what we're going to talk about today.
Thanks, Ryan. Today's one of my favorite codes that we've discussed in the last little while, and it's a code that keeps coming up on a daily basis for me, and how vital it is to remember this code and how to use it. And that is the code of clarity. And clarity is the ability to see through something, or be seen through as well. And you could have clarity of mind, clarity of body, clarity of energy. And the more clarity we have, the easier it is to make decisions. And the, you know, once we make these choices, then things start to open up. And yeah, it's, we'll get into it more, but clarity has been a big one for me over the past few years. Mainly because I didn't have clarity for such a long time. So once I finally received that code and was able to embody it, the world really started opening up, and it was such a clear difference of what it was like to be in clarity versus not in clarity. And we'll, you know, come up with some examples for that, of what it's not like to be in clarity, you know, being in anxiety or being distracted, or being just on the path that you shouldn't be on, could be all examples of not being in clarity. And we'll get into that. And we'll get into, you know, how we can get clear and get clarity, and how to stay in clarity, and some examples in our life of what it's like to be in clarity. So when I bring up clarity, Ryan, what comes up for you?
I think it's an aspect that that we notice after it's been achieved. You know, once we hear a lot of noise, there's a lot of noise in our mind. And during this time, we're always trying to seek clarity, and clarity communicates to clear communication to me. It's something that I seek in my relationships. It's something that I seek in, my life with the things I do, because I feel like if things are clear, I can have more data, I can learn, I have more feedback. There's no resistances with what I'm interacting with, or what I'm putting my attention on. It's also a reflection back how I need to be clear if I want clarity back. So I need to be clear with myself. I need to be clear in my communication with those around me. And not necessarily, we'll say, be clear with exactly what I want, because I don't, you know, that unfolds as we talked last time. It might be something that people say, okay, what clearly do you want? But I don't always have the full picture before I know that. So I like to have a clear path and seeing, you know, the feedback of that. So that's what comes up in the short period here, not talking about clarity. I'll ask you, what do you think, it's important to always be in clarity, or is there some sort of benefit from moving between not being clear, too clear, and back in this game of life?
Yeah, good question. I'd say the contrast is helpful, just to remember what it's like to not be in clarity. For instance, I had this a couple of days ago where I was, you know, a lot of chatter going on in my mind and feeling a bit of overwhelm of all my things to do and to-do list and all this stuff. And it was just so much chatter. And then I actually took some gut health supplements, and whether it was placebo or not, relatively quickly, I just got really, really clear. And it reminded me of one of the first times that I got into clarity was when I had really good gut health. And I realized the connection between gut health and mental health. And what it means to be in mental health is really, you know, in a good relationship with that voice in your head. That's one example of it. And just having really clear thoughts and the ability to direct our attention. And I know you're really big on attention, as it is one of the most valuable currencies in the world, if not the most valuable. And clarity for me is just really my ability to direct my attention. And as we know, you know, where attention goes, energy flows, and everything is really energy. And then this becomes a way to manifest or co-create the things that we are, things or circumstances or situations that we truly desire. And I'd also say that the more clear we are, the more clear we could get really clear with what we truly desire. And I know there's, you know, my first thought may be I want a lot of money, or I want a lot of success, or I want a, you know, romantic relationship. I'm just giving examples that I've had and a lot of people have. But with real clarity, you can go to the root of why we want these things, these desires. And we may not actually even really want them deep down. We want a certain feeling or a certain sensation or a certain lifestyle that these things, we think that they'll give. So I feel like the more clear we could get, we could actually get down to the root of what we truly, truly desire. And then we're not setting off on a quest, on a path that we maybe shouldn't even really be on.
Hmm. So aligning, what you're saying is aligning with what our soul desires.
Yes.
Through the clarity. And we yes. need to achieve clarity as we learn the feedback and breadcrumbs that we leave ourselves. Like our last podcast that we got into. If you guys haven't heard that one, it's Alex really pushed me to go deep on the end. But that'll give some map. And while you're saying this, I kind of, obviously, I live in Central America and near the jungle. Looking into the jungle, I don't know, like something I haven't explored yet, uncharted territory or undiscovered territory. And there's a fog in front of me. And that fog only allows me to kind of see, you know, my hands or what's an immediate distance, but it doesn't allow me to see like as the jungle unfolds, as what's coming to me. And with clarity in life, and we're looking at life unfolding like the jungle of life, you could say the forest or jungle or even concrete jungle. As we move to, you know, allow this fog, or the brain fog could represent overthinking, could represent worrying about things that might happen in the future. Like we talked last time about probabilities, it could represent, you know, certain anxieties coming from a sympathetic nervous system, or our gut being inflamed, as you mentioned, you know, is a second brain. But all of these things interrupt the natural intuitive feedback that we are as human beings to help us navigate this jungle in front of us. So being clear really is it, you know, if we get into a physiological sense, is it inflammation in the body? You know, is it because we have a pattern or a subconscious pattern and eating certain types of food that, you know, might cause inflammation in the gut or leaky gut or inflammation in the body? It kind of muffles or brings a fog or something to our natural feedback, you know? Or are we taking pain medication? Are we smoking too much cannabis? Are we, you know, doing certain things to keep us away from our natural feedback that allows us to be clear? Because as we move forward into the unpredictable world, we're trying to be clear in our movements so that we can tap into what is it that we truly desire? What breadcrumbs are we leaving ourselves so that I can align with the best path that allows me to embody or learn that the most efficient way, right?
Mm-hmm. Well said. Yeah. And absolutely. A lot of stuff's coming to mind there, top of mind with gut health and what we put into our bodies can definitely cause some, you know, some fogginess. It can, you know, we put these things in our body, we don't actually know what's in them. We don't know, you know, where they came from, and if it's how removed they are from being alive, you know, all these packaged goods and all this stuff that's so far away from nature, and we don't actually know how, you know, what's in it. And then, yeah, then all of a sudden the voice in our head is inflamed, or it's aggravated because our gut is inflamed, and it's a second brain, like you said. So yeah, bringing up a lot of interesting things there. And what are some ways, you know, I'll get into it for some of my tricks, Ryan, but what are some ways that you get to back to clarity?
Clean, stay clean, you know, clean. And it's something, you know, our maestro says, when we drink medicine, it's like, we're here to clean. And, you know, the feeling after some people do a 3-day fast, or a friend of ours who, like, 7-day water fast, and you know, when we're clear and clean, we're able to interpret feedback, but we're also able to know what our patterns and habits are. And I would say during a process of cleaning is when we learn that, like, during the process of maybe a fast, you know, as we're craving certain types of foods or sugars, we actually recognize the clarity that has been unconsciously driving us, you know, and creating fog. But when we take it away or remove it, sometimes by choice or not by choice, it's when we start to listen. Clarity is listening to eye, or, you know, one mouth and two ears, we would say. And even beyond the physiological aspect, what came up for me is also our beliefs about our food or ourselves, which is, be careful what you put in your body, be careful what you put in your subconscious. You know, I remember seeing a video long time, it must have been 10 years ago, of Tony Robbins. And he had a guy on stage, and he had him, like, there was a piece of pizza or something, or cheese, and he allowed him to eat that piece of pizza blindfolded. And then he began going on about how the cheese was moldy and it smelled bad, and he just made his brain do all that, and he almost puked the next time he ate the same exact pizza, because he had shifted his beliefs, even to the placebo effect, where you've seen some people with Parkinson's disease take sugar pills and have dopamine still released in their brain to the point where they can get up and walk around. So I think the physiologically and through our belief systems, we need to recognize what we're putting in. And the only really way to do that is being clear and listening to our feedback. Clear, yeah. You know, clarity is feedback, to me, clear feedback. So yeah, I mean, one of the ways that came up is clean. It's, you know, one of the things I do, I've been working with certain medicines for the last decade. One of the medicines I worked with for a very long time is Campbell. It's been about 7 going on 8 years. I actually took a course to be able to serve it, but it's coming up for me right now. I'm actually going to be sitting with Campbell tomorrow morning. Oh, wow. I'm also going to be serving a friend of mine as well. But I feel like I need, you know, it's calling me, and how Campbell works, and obviously you and I worked with it.
Yeah, major cleaning.
It helps clean it, not only the energies, the thoughts, but through a process that's, I guess you could say, is uncomfortable. But for those of you that don't know how Campbell works, it's an Amazonian frog secretion. A lot of people call it a poison or a venom. It's not correct. It's a secretion of alkaloids that is applied to these little gates that are burned on the skin, open, very, very thin layer. And this medicine actually goes into the body and creates a reaction to take all the toxins, take all the heavy metals, any bacteria, any parasites, any energetics, and it brings it into the bile. The bile is released into the stomach, and then you purge or you vomit in other terms. And it's a very, very intense cleaning process. But during that process, you see your patterns, you see what got you to the aspects. You see what we pick up in life with all the EMFs and the news and the war and the attention grabbing, as you would say, like your currency you know, your attention is your greatest currency. And everything is really designed to capture our attention, from a video game to our phone to a $3 trillion device in our hand that's designed to just steal our attention. And it's nice to go back to these natural medicines and work with them every once in a while, not as crutches, but as tools in this noisy world, to bring clarity to some of the things that we do unconsciously, or some of the things that we build up, or some of the energies we might pick up from our relationships that stick to us and make us overthink. This is one of the things I practice and I sit with as a help, you know, as help. Some of the other things of clarity is just taking an outside perspective on things with myself and with the people I interact with. And from that present moment, just be patient before I decide how to go back and interact. Brings more clarity by stepping away from, you know, the noise, stepping away from the fog, and just allowing. And then that's some of the ways that I bring clarity on two different levels. One is a daily a moment by moment practice. The other is, you know, sometimes when you get too heavy into this reality or this world and you pick up things, I've learned to work with certain medicines that assist us in learning and cleaning. Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, that's good, Ryan. And I got to attest to that. My cleaning house that I, when we, you facilitated Campbell for me, was super powerful cleaning. You know, I puked my brains out for a while, and it was awesome. It felt it was incredible. Just reminded of that now. That was a really deep clean, and it also felt, you know, even though it's a physical thing, even though I'm puking and I'm you know, buckets full and a lot of, you know, vile and all this crazy stuff is coming out, it also felt like an energetic cleaning. Mm-hmm. Like I was getting rid of certain, you know, feelings, or certain, maybe not feelings, but emotions that were stuck in there. There's some lower emotion stuff that was there, past relationship stuff I remember coming out, and man, the clarity I had after that was remarkable. And it just reminds me, like, clarity, yes, of course, it's you know, the mental clarity is key, but that energetical clarity of our being, of our not just the body, but our vessel, and how it stores information and it stores energy, and it's just stuck in there sometimes, you know. And it's like, if it's stuck, then it's not flowing, and then we're not as clear as we could be, you know. And that's a really good reminder of that. So yeah, thank you for reminding that. That was a really good one. You mentioned fasting in there too. Fasting is another good one to just really clear things out and see what comes up while we're fasting. And, you know, these certain cravings or thoughts or things will come up, and it could be, you know, one of these parasites or one of these energetical things that's stuck in there is craving that attention, or craving that same something along the same frequency. So yeah, fasting has been a powerful one for me. Longest I've ever went is 72 hours. I haven't done a week long fast yet, but I that's definitely on my to-do list. Would love to do a dry fast as well. I've heard that's super powerful for cleaning. Another one for me is it's a really simple one, but it's going into solitude, solitude, just being alone, space, you know, whether it's in nature or in my sauna, or just my frog. My frog is an acronym for furnished room above garage. And that's just my room where I go, and it's my own space. And I, you know, I just have my, you know, I have all my biohacking and meditation equipment in there, but it's really just a place to be alone. And then I get really clear with my thoughts, and I get, you know, I'll hear if the same chatter is coming up, and I could recognize that's, you know, something that needs to be addressed and let go. And so, yeah, I'd say solitude was really good because it just removes the distractions, and distractions can be something that really gets in the way. And then if something's in the way, then it's not really clear of our path forward. So solitude was a good one. And like we mentioned earlier, just in that solitude, I could just get really clear with what really matters most. And, you know, we could call that a sincere desire. And then it's like, okay, these are the things that really matter most. And now I could regroup and focus my energy and focus my attention on what matters most. And then it's like this newfound calmness and sense of clarity to move forward one step at a time, like we said, you know, one step by step. And once I'm in that clarity state, then I'm reminded that the world is like a mirror, like a cosmic mirror, and how I show up to the world, then it reflects back to me. You know, if I'm in a really hyperactive state and busy and chattery and stuff like that, there's just a lot of noise that keeps reflecting back to me. But if I'm grounded and tapped in and really centered and clear, man, is it easy to navigate for me in from that state of mind? And you know, the things just click and flow, and I'm in back in that flow state. That effortless effort is awesome, and I just things are just smooth, you know, slow, smooth, and smooth is fast. So really fluid. So yeah, to recap, I'd say solitude, getting clear with my desires, and then being that version of myself that reflects to the world what it truly desires, and then it's reflected back to me, as opposed to getting caught in my thoughts and doing the opposite. So yeah, we brought up some good things here on a couple of ways of how to do it. Do you remember a time in your life, Ryan, where you weren't so clear and there was contrast, or have you been in the state of clarity for so long now you can't even remember?
Oh yeah, yesterday was it was no, you like we always say is it doesn't get easier, you just get better. So you know, I allow my identity to be itself, you know, even if I'm operating from a level of presence. It is my greatest teacher, but allowing my, you know, my personality to notice that it's also co-creating with, you know, my soul is a very clear signal. But I believe there's quite a contrast in life, and the time that you're the most clear is when you're the time you have the best discipline, when you're moving forward. And but then something comes along. Like, I mean, I was been at the gym quite a lot, you know, the last 10 months. And I don't know, from holding my son, or slept wrong, I hurt like my elbow a little bit. So I've taken a break, just going very light. But no matter what trajectory or discipline or however you're doing, there's always something that's going to come along and test you. It's just the law. It's just, you know, so maintaining throughout the contrast of life. Like the other day, just, you know, my son was getting a molar, and it was a lesson, you know, it's a early lesson for for us parents. I told you about before the call, and I slept like 30 minutes all night, you know, from rocking him and singing to him, and, you know, just learning, right? But the next day, you know, I didn't have the clarity I needed to do what I needed to do, but I did my best. And I learned this when I used to train in kickboxing and martial arts when I was young. I remember I had a guy I really looked up to. His name was Roy. He was a fighter, a Muay Thai fighter, and he used to train. He used to tell me to like train when you're tired, and I used to watch him fight professionally. And he used to run on the treadmill like 2 hours before he would go into class and train. And then I started doing that, and we start. It's one of the things I've always kept since I was a little kid. Just being able to operate when you're tired, and find the bliss, being able to operate through those times where you're not very clear. You know, that's been something I practiced often. So whether I have a bad day or not, or something happens, I still show up and navigate through. But I mean, you get on these waves where you're super clear, and I've been there, you know, and then you land in the jungle, and break your leg, or you something happens, or a friend passes away, and those are the times you're really challenged to use the tools that keep you clear. But I mean, it's okay. We can do Cambo. We can get through it. We can do this. But I think we all achieve to be as clear as we want. When we're not clear, we have the law of consequence to remind us what the cause and effect of that is. Because if we're continually not making clear and coherent decisions or choices, it adds up. And and we're forced to get clear so we can see how to get out of the jungle. You know, so I don't know. What about you? Like, what is this? What is your state of clarity in that sense as well?
Yeah, I've definitely been in, like I mentioned earlier, I was definitely not clear for a long time. And that I attribute that to my, you know, chronic use of cannabis. I was a big cannabis guy for many years. All my old friends know that, you know, I had a deep relationship with cannabis, you know, and it was my crutch for years and years and years. And it was my way to, I would justify it by saying that, you know, it brings me into my creative mind, you know, because I'm a very left-brain guy. I'm a pilot. I'm very analytical. I'm a doer. So it's like, I'm always like, okay, got to get things done. And then I would smoke cannabis to go into my right brain, more feminine brain or whatever you want to call it, and listen to music and dance and you just be more flowing. And that was my justification of it. You know, that's how I would justify it to people. But what it was really doing was just putting me in this fog and putting me in this state where of like, whether it was procrastination or like we talked about, like it would give me these illusions that, you know, these ideas or these illusions of things that can happen, but then they never really happen, you know? So then it wasn't until, I believe it was 2017 when I really got my act together again and I started flying. I got back into flying. I had taken a few years off of flying aircraft, and, you know, cannabis and flying aircraft do not mix. And I've tried that. So I tried it. They don't mix well, you know, they're completely.
Did you have to hide it?
I had to hide it. Yeah. Cause
like breath mints and cologne and. Well,
yeah, cologne and all that, and you know, for years I had my own plane, so I could kind of nobody really knew that I was a cannabis smoker. But when I got back into the workforce, like when I was flying for somebody else, and I had, you know, passengers, and I just realized really quickly, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna have to take a break again from cannabis. And I'd taken many breaks in my life, but so 2017, I got my act together and I stopped smoking cannabis, and I got the clarity back, you know, and it was the first time in many, many years that I had a real clarity again. And my life started to take off, you know, no pun intended. It was just ascending on this trajectory of success. And I started making more money than I had made before. And, you know, network was expanding and business started expanding and all these amazing things. And it really attributed to that level of clarity that I reached again. So that was a big one. And, you know, then I fast forward, you know, I reached certain successes in the matrix and launched companies and took them public and all that kind of stuff. And one of them was a cannabis company. So I was like, okay, I should probably, you know, have a relationship with cannabis again, if I'm going to sell this stuff. So I started smoking weed again and I got really into it, and, you know, it was fun for a while, but then that fog came back, you know, and that the stuff that comes with it, the overthinking and the procrastination and the justification and the lack of discipline and all these things, that they just creep back in there. And it's like, you're not as sharp as I wasn't as sharp as I once was. And then it wasn't until I got my gut health in check again, using mushrooms, actually functional mushrooms. And I went on the functional mushroom protocol, and that radically shifted my gut health. And then I got clarity again, and I was able to snap out of that and turn that business around. So it was a big thing. So those were two indicators for me, like, okay, cannabis and, you know, really having a clear vision. You know, if you're in the fog, you don't really have a clear vision of what's ahead. And if you don't have a clear vision, it's really Well, one, you're not going to be able to communicate that vision to people because it's not clear. But if you have a clear vision of what is ahead of you and what you want to achieve, then you can start to gather the skills to communicate that vision. And once you communicate that vision to someone clearly, now you could get people rallied behind you or with you and inspired. And now you're starting to form an alignment. And when you have people all aligned on the same goal or vision, man, things, magic starts to happen and things really start to happen and manifest. So that was a big one for me, was getting a clear vision. And then, you know, you and I had talked about this earlier in the week about clear communication, and those things go hand in hand for me now. It's like, okay, the vision is one thing. It's one aspect of it. And you need clarity for that. And then how to communicate that clearly so people understand. And that's what I think clarity is too, is the opportunity or the ability to be understood. And if people don't have clarity, it's going to be really hard for them to understand you. And it's going to be really hard for someone to be understood. And then people that don't feel understood or, you know, seen, it's really challenging to move things forward. So, yeah, those have been the things for me in the past few years that have really gotten me clarity again, getting rid of cannabis and getting my gut health in check with functional mushrooms.
Yes, cannabis. She is the temptress that promises everything but delivers nothing, right? You know, we have a lot of talks about that spirit. It's an interesting one. And have you ever thought, like, you know, the cannabis is so smart that it turned us into bees. And I'm going to explain this, because cannabis has its natural habitat, but since it has THC, it caused us humans to grow it in our basements and grow it all over the world and manufacture it and take it to public. And now it's all over. So we're almost like pollinating the spirit because it gives us THC. I thought that was interesting. But yeah, definitely, you know, takes your energy, takes your jing. It needs to feed off something. So it's nice to be able to talk about that. I think another podcast, we can get really into what that spirit is, you know, and how it turns very quickly from a fun tool to a crutch. But yeah, I like it, you know, even tapping into clarity and communication. And sometimes what's really good is to go even beyond just the direct communication with others and yourself. And sometimes when you communicate, you have feedback. And sometimes when you don't communicate properly, the next time you communicate, there's also feedback. So it's always good to take a larger perspective and see, like, well, what events led to this type of communication, you know, or what things led to this, or what is something I may have said before or acted upon or before, reacted on before, that led to a breakdown in communication. And what are some of the things that I've compounded moving forward that have led to the improvement of communication and clarity? And even when you were talking about, you know, the fog, seeing through the fog, I'm imagining you flying your plane through the fog, you know. And I know it's different. You're kind of basing things on the feel of things, and you're basing things on, you have a type of navigation. But I mean, if your navigation's broken, you know, if your body or vessel is not giving you the proper feedback to what you're putting in it, or the beliefs, or, you know, the people you might hang around, or the energetics, that your navigation gets skewed, and then you rely on what you see in front of you. But if it's foggy as well, it's going to be quite hard to navigate. And, you know, you might fly yourself into a storm and have to really pull the skills out to navigate out and learn that lesson. But
totally.
Definitely clarity is definitely a zip file, you know. And you double click on the zip file and it opens up to many things that we've talked about today. Like most things, you know, you have a word that has got a certain energetic behind it, and clarity and coherence and all of these things are some of my favorite things to explore, because I also like, you know, personally, I like the mountains. I like to live high. I like to fly like you. I really like the sky. Some people really like the ocean. Some people like both, but you know, clear skies, blue skies is what we say in skydiving. Blue skies, you know, clear skies so we can fly is something that I like, and I know you like. We both love the sky. So
yes, blue sky guys, absolutely.
Blue skies. Yeah.
Blue sky guys all the way. And yeah, what's coming up for me there, Ryan, too, is the word clarity. When you really, let's look at it, is, you know, when you hear the word clarity, to me, what comes up is you could see through it, right? It's clear. It's a clear thing. And it's like, okay, what is it to be clear? Is like transparency, right? You could see right through it. And you know, there was definitely times up until very recently where I wasn't being transparent with some of the closest people in my life because of, you know, I wanted them to see me a certain way. But you know, and I got used to them seeing me as a successful human, whatever that means. But so I was starting to push people away from, you know, some of my oldest friends. I was starting to push them away. I wasn't, because I didn't want them to see me in this, you know, this challenging time, in this struggling time. But then I realized that that's not being authentic, and that's not being transparent, and that's not being clear. And it's like, people can only love you fully once they know the real you. So it gave me the opportunity to have really uncomfortable conversations with some of the people that were closest to me, or that I considered closest to me, that I loved the most, and just was really raw and open and authentic, and just cleared the air, you know, cleared things up within myself. So then it's like, okay, now you could see right through me. There is nothing to hide. And I think there's really something powerful when we're not hiding anything, we're not repressing or suppressing anything, and these emotions that we talked about earlier that we could clear out, you know, or clean out with a medicine ceremony. But we can also clear them out by just being clear with people and being open and honest and authentic. And, you know, that's another way to do it that I've experienced recently. And from that point on, I was feeling very clear in my, you know, my direction and my being, and refound my center. So I encourage the listeners, you know, is to just really be clear and honest with yourself, and then that, let that ripple out to your relationships. Because then you'll know that people really love you is by being your, you know, your true authentic self and being clear with that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you what the results of that were, but you went through it.
Yeah, I went through it. It was awesome. And I remember after doing it, I had all these, you know, I wrote down the closest people to me on the list, and you were one of them, Ryan. I shared with you as well. And then I went down the list, and I had just one uncomfortable call after another. And I just got in a rhythm. I was like, well, might as well just bang them all out here. So I just made all these calls and, you know, faced the music with all these people, and, you know, just shared my struggles and challenges that I'm in business and entrepreneurship and debt and these kind of things. And it was very clearing. And then after that, I had, after that day, I had my public speaking class. So I went to my public speaking class, and I just rocked the public speaking. Like, it was so easy because I had just faced all these other things that I had, like, put a fearful label on, that, you know, getting up in front of an audience was like the least scariest thing of the day at that point. And actually I won the competition that night. So it was just like another example of, like, just go into these uncomfortable conversations. People are going to love you, you know, for who you really are. It doesn't matter. These stories in our mind are just, they're another version of the fog, you know, when we're driving that vehicle of life that is ourselves. And these stories are just fog that get in the way of the clarity. So yeah, thank you for the reminding me on that.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful. Very, very powerful. Yeah, it's interesting to, you know, in that process, you're also getting a ton of feedback, you know, and you're understanding, like, what were my desires that led me to not be clear, And like, how are they like unconsciously directing me, in places because my navigation might have been off. And then when you actually go into that state of being clear and being open, you start to see these things that end up being your greatest teachers to towards your strength. These are the desires in this process, right? And you notice your soul just through an ayahuasca, a multi-year ayahuasca ceremony for you to get to the point where you're like, oh fuck, okay, I'm gonna release this energy and start to see clear and take one step at a time and start to build these strengths that I can now embody because I found all the breadcrumbs to where I am now. And it's a fascinating process we all go through in one way or the other constantly, And one of the things I was going to ask you earlier, and I've I think a lot of us have had this experience is like, when you got clear off the cannabis, right? And then things started really to take off, right? And as you're going and taking off, we get into a place where we're actually like flying high and getting to that success and rocking it. And like the fog comes in again from that as well, and I've been there, and it's like you get there and flying and skydiving, right? Complacency a little bit, but it's almost like a different type of fog. You go from one
It's a
fog,
new layer of fog.
it's a new layer of fog and you don't realize you're in it because your actual feedback is amplified. And it's funny because like when you're on the cannabis, like everything that wouldn't normally be exciting starts to get exciting. You watch a movie where normally you wouldn't laugh. And I think one of the biggest psyops in our time is like these sitcoms where they play the people laughing in the background. It fucks with you, man. It's like this guy, he walks over and he's like, he says something like, hello, and then everyone laughs. And then this guy picks up a cup and everyone laughs. And it just like, yeah, like the show Friends, or whatever, so many shows. It just try watching those without the sound on, or without the laughing. It's ridiculous.
Without the laughing, yeah.
But yeah, the cannabis kind of makes things more interesting than they are. And it takes your ability away to naturally navigate and seek things, like seek that natural like exploration of life, like what happens, right? And you get all these insights with cannabis saying like, oh, if it goes this exact probability, it's gonna feel like this when I win and do this. And like you're just rocking it through this exploration with your imagination within the cannabis spirit. And then you kind of feel it already. And then you have a fear when you come out of it, but like, well, if it doesn't happen this exact way, then I don't want to feel the other way. So you end up not doing it because you've already experienced it with cannabis. And it's kind of like when you get up high into the clouds and your business is expanding, if you don't remember to check in, if you don't remember to be clear with yourself, if you don't remember to like also integrate, the shadow aspects as you're moving forward, because with all this energy, there's going to be a polarity. There's going to be something there. You get into this other fog, and I've been there too, and then something happens to law of consequences, throws you a curveball, and then here you are, and you get to do it again and learn the lessons from that and take it with you. Like these are the tools that we get in this video game of life. And with those parts of us that bring us to those highs and into cannabis and into being not clear and into being like building a certain scenario with our personality that makes it move forward like you did, and you're open and clear and coherent and communication and spoke on the public speaking class. All of that built up before gave us the opportunity to choose to go into something that might not have been very comfortable. And that's where we learn our courage. That's where we learn our strength. That's where we learn our feedback. And without all these levels and video game levels for us to learn that, your desire most likely was to be exactly result that you got from the public speaking or how you feel now to embody like going through that experience. It's just like you couldn't have found clarity if you weren't in the fog and you wouldn't know what it was, or you wouldn't know how to speak about it, right? So it's an interesting game of life we have here, because one perspective you're looking through, where you got yourself, and then the other perspective you're kind of stepping back and seeing the results and of where you are now. So, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool.
Pretty cool here in contrast land. It's always the contrast is such a, it's a key factor, you know, it's a key factor. You said it earlier with our, we're co-creating it with our identity, you know, and our, it's, it makes me wonder, is the identity, you know, constantly creating the contrast?
Oh yeah. To, unconsciously most of the time.
Right. It's like, it seems that way. And it's,
oh yeah.
It reminds me also of, you know, we talked about transparency, and, you know, another word for transparency is translucency, which is like your ability to store light. So it makes me wonder, like, okay, if we're more translucent, then we can store more light. So then we could go into the darkness, which is really contrast. Right? The contrast is a shade, is like the shadiness of life. So yeah, it just makes me wonder, you know, because I know going into the darkness or the shadow aspect is a big part of life, right? We don't lose the shadow. It's always there, and we got to, you know, integrate with it and play with it. But I wonder if the more clear we are, the more that we can absorb light. So then we go into these shadow aspects that it,
I got to ask you a question. I got to ask you, like, what's coming up right now is like when I was sitting beside you in our ceremony last year.
Oh yeah.
And I want you to tell this story because I think it's perfect timing. What was that movie that you saw? It was called The Game.
Oh,
right?
The Game. Yeah. Michael Douglas. Yeah.
Michael Douglas. And you know, it's funny, Alex and I really have a lot of the same memories because we're, you know, we're born very, like, within a year. 80s kids. We're 80s kids. We had 80s movies and we had 80s cartoons. And if you look at the 80s cartoons compared to like the next generations, they were pretty rough. They were like pretty strong, like you know, fighting, and there's lots of like violence. And it's funny because in the 80s, sexual stuff was very censored or more put down, and violence was very, you know, video games and movies and TV were super violent. And now we see the opposite. You know, we're seeing a lot of violence or less violence and openness to sexual content to a very expansive point to where it becomes a business. Yeah. But anyways, going back, The Game, Michael Douglas, I remember this movie, and it was like the 80s movies are good. And you had a very interesting experience you told me about. Your level ayahuasca put you through. Would you mind telling us?
Yeah, if I can remember correctly, and for the listeners, it's a movie in the 90s, Michael Douglas, and he's a rich guy, you know, very isolated. He's created, you know, he's isolated himself with his money and his success, so he doesn't have to really deal with too many people. He doesn't even talk to his family or his ex-wife much anymore. He's just like lives in his mansion with his maid, and comes home one day, I believe it's on his birthday, and he comes home and there's, you know, something happens. I won't give it away, but something happens, and then it basically leads to this series of events that it's wild, you know, and it just takes him on this whole adventure, and it's this crazy stuff, and it's like people are trying to kill him and car chases and all this, but it ends up being a game. And that's what I felt like in the ayahuasca ceremony, was that I was in this game, and, you know, it was all just part of a game, and people were playing roles, and people were, some were out to get me and some were to help me and some were to hurt me and some were to trick me and some this, and it was all just this elaborate game that was rigged so that I could get to this breakthrough point in ayahuasca, which I did, and it was magical, and it's beyond words, but I could remember it now. It's just like one of the biggest.
It was hard. You said it was really hard level when you got there.
It was
there,
the hardest.
You said it was like the hardest like level you've ever been in.
Oh yeah, it was the hardest I'd ever been in for sure, and it was, but it was all in my mind though. It was like a real, and then it was when I shifted out of my mind into another chakra or another energy point, or I don't know how to explain it, but I once I got out of my mind, the whole thing shifted. But
you were almost trapped. You said it's like I was trapped in this game.
I was trapped,
and you really had to look into your tools to get out. Like nobody was coming to save you,
That's right.
And you had only you. And it reminded me, like, when we see this translucent stuff, we kind of, when we're trapped, we really got to tune into our consciousness, tune into our light, and tune in and stop giving our attention away to the game and to all the characters and to what's happening. And I remember you had said you'd finally figured it out. It was like a whole battle. Like, your whole ceremony is stuck in this game.
It was a battle.
Well, you were stuck in a forest too, weren't you? Was that part of it? Like, running through a forest, or was it, is that wrong?
No, there was running through a forest. There was very many levels to it. There was the whole journey that we had to the, you know, get to the Mallorca or whatever it was called, the Shala. Every aspect of it was part of it. And it was all like, it was wild. It became like a movie. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
And you tapped in and you got out. And I mean, ayahuasca, she's special. She's a special one. She gives you these really tough lessons sometimes that you have to really tap into the light, I guess you could say, and tap into yourself, all these attributes that we're talking about, and see clear, so you know how to get out of this game, or finish the game, or get the lesson from the game, because it was a big lesson of
it was.
Okay, here you go. Or it's a purge.
Yeah.
The lesson, and then you purge.
It was all of that, Ryan. It was. And thank you for the reminder on that. And it did bring me a lot of clarity at the end. That was for sure. I was feeling super clear. And that I rode that wave for a while. So thank you for that. And I look forward to the next ceremony and the next lessons that we're going to receive here in the game. And anything else? Any other closing notes on this one?
Nope. I think we're good for today. See you guys next week. We abruptly just stopped at one. They say curiosity killed the cat, but satisfaction brought him back. So
there you go.
Hopefully we leave a little cliffhanger for next week. Next week, Alex and I pick different topics each week. Next week, I think, is mine.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe we'll start turning it up and getting into some deeper stuff. We just wanted to warm everyone up, but we do want to talk about certain things that people think about and are going through and seeing, and where our attention is going in this day and age, and dive in and navigate that together, maybe with some of the things that we've talked about up until now.
Absolutely. We'll be back next week with more codes.
Hey guys, take care.
Ciao.